throwing opinions around because they matter. At the drop of a hat, leading you into the latest sporting news, talking all things sports. You're listening to Leading Off, the Sports Podcast. Welcome back to this week to the Leading Off Sports Podcast, discussing all things sports and leading you into the latest sporting news commentary. I'm Jason Goodson, Jay Gooda. Thank you, Sister Green. In the house alongside of the bearded Texan himself, Justin Neely, and the producer extraordinaire, JT, Johnny Taylor. Last time we discussed our MLB predictions for the coming year, 2015. That was episode one on leadingoffsports.com. Justin, the spring training time is rolling to a stop. All of the, fans are preparing their hearts to be put on a plate, to be either chopped into pieces or coddled and cuddled, depending on who's your favorite team and who is the team you have as that literally year after year seems to break your hearts, Cubs fans. Mm-hmm. You have an interesting question that you wanted us to discuss, and I'm ready to get into that question because I think it's fascinating. And I want to hear you lead us into that question, and let's get on with it. Let's see what happens here.
Well, I'm ready for spring training to be over. And and I started thinking about this the other day while at work, and it's one of those would you rathers, which is one of my favorite games to play. But I was thinking about all the great baseball teams we've seen over the past 20, 30 years, and I thought, would you rather be the Atlanta Braves of the 1990s, early 2000s, winning the division every year consistently, or would you rather be the San Francisco Giants of the last 6 years? Win a World Series, miss the playoffs. Win a World Series, miss the playoffs. Mm. And it just came to me, occurred to me. And, I mean, I put that out on Twitter tonight. Mm-hmm. Hopefully get a good response. But, I mean, who would you rather be?
Oh, goodness. See, this is always a tough one. And because there's so many different memorable moments for both teams in those eras, because they're two different time frames and eras. The San Francisco Giants, although their ring total seems to be rising as far as World Series goes, I'm a 90s guy. Okay, it's my age. It's going to show up here. But I'm a 90s guy, and my whole – and maybe it's because I'm burning up in my heart a little bit over the fact that the Giants beat the Rangers in the World Series in 2010. But, maybe it's my inability to forget that. But it's the – for me, I'm going 90s Braves. I'm going 90s Braves, and there's a few – I've got a few good reasons why.
90s Braves – consistently win. If you averaged out their wins over that time span, average about 96 wins a year. So as a Braves fan, you got to watch really good baseball for a long time. And many players, great players, that you think back, look at Maddox, Glavine, Smoltz, mm-hmm. Jones, yeah. Both Jones, Andrew and Chipper.
Ooh, forgot Chipper.
David yes. Justice. A lot of really good players, a lot of memorable moments. They went to the World Series several times. I mean, they mm-hmm. didn't always come out on top. They did win one. But, of course, they did, face some pretty good teams and pretty legendary players themselves during those series at that time. But for me, I do enjoy the consistency of winning. And watching the Rangers the last few years and seeing the consistency of winning, it was fun. But, I had something, a desire within me. I wanted to see the Rangers win the World Series. It was awesome that we won all those games. And I'll probably look back on it and remember these times winning and watching them lose so many games last year was tough.
Yeah.
But being so close in 2012, even 2011 when the Giants beat the Rangers, Edgar Renteria, that's a name I want to.
He always beat everybody at the right time. He was always the one that hit the base hit against everybody. I mean, even when he was with the Marlins.
He was clutch.
Yeah. Renteria. Just remember that name.
Rent. Because that's what he was. He was a rented player.
He rented to win the World Series.
But Looking at the rings, would I rather have 15 years of 96 win seasons, or would I rather have two rings right now for the Rangers? And that's where I have to weigh the question. It's hard. I'm right on the line. I want to see my team win World Series. And as a Giants fan, you can go to the Dodgers, who are your most hated rival, and go 3. And the Dodgers spent all this money trying to get to this point. Anything which this year, you know, they might have a great year, but it depends on what they do in the playoffs. They always seem to falter. But they've got 3. And the people down south have none since 1989. I don't know. I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think I'd almost rather have the rings.
Okay.
Can I have both?
No, you can't have both.
I'd rather have the rings.
Come on, man. It's one choice or the other. You can't right. do both.
I'd rather have the rings.
Right.
Because those stay with me forever. But at the same time, as you're probably about to discuss, man, winning 96 games a year, you know, averaged, that stays with you.
Well, it's, think about this too, the icons.
Yeah.
On the 90s Braves. And like, I remember like specific players, see, all throughout the ages, but the Braves, you mentioned some already, Smoltz. Smoltz, you see him on TV now, he's commentating, providing color commentary on baseball. Think about, looking into the fact that, we have Smoltz. This is a pitching staff, by the way. And if I leave somebody out of this pitching staff, you know, forgive me, but I'm going to give you 3 important names on that pitching staff, maybe 4. Smoltz. All right. Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
Glavin. Hall of Famer. Tommy Glavin. All right. Smoltz. Glavin. Maddox. Hello.
And he is in the Rangers organization.
He knew he was going to say that. Maddox, and not his, you know, his brother's a pitching coach.
But Mike.
Mike is in the organization, but Greg is a pitching coach. But Mike Maddox, think about this. Hall of Famer. How did the Cubs let that guy go? Wow. You wonder why you're cursed?
Yeah.
So Maddox is in there on that. And I'm a Cubs fan. Too, by the way. I mean, it's partly my lot in life.
Yeah.
Because I have to watch half the season, you know, with my wife. Anyway, so Cubs fan, you know, let Maddox go. All right. I don't remember the 2 other starting pitchers on those stats, but those 3 guys right there for probably what, 7, 8, 9, 10 years provided solid pitching for Braves. Then you have Wohlers, Mark Wohlers. Remember that country boy. Okay. Coming in, throwing 108 miles an hour at the end of a game when you've seen 65 miles an hour for most of these guys.
Right.
And it's not that they were painting corners. They were throwing the baseball in spots where baseballs don't go. And guys are going, how did he do that? You know, it's not like Jamie Moyer at some point threw till he was 45. Well, you know, Maddox didn't come in and overpower you, but the ball moved like 17 inches from one end of the plate to the other every time he threw it, it seemed like. So he was really consistent there. Think about that. Now, those are just the pitchers. I hadn't even mentioned. We didn't mention, you know, we didn't go over into real detail on all these other dudes sitting in the outfield. You know, think about all these things. Well, these guys all provide, there's moments. There's some moments the Braves want to forget.
Absolutely.
How do you forget Mickey Pendleton? Oh, come on, Pendleton. Third baseman, right? There for a while, right before Jones got into the league. Man, so think about this, too. Atlanta Braves fans, they always want to forget Rocker. But, man, Rocker came in. He was John a force. Rocker. He'd come in out of that bullpen and set up Wohlers. Rocker left-handed. He looked at you cross-eyed.
Yeah, he's a little
crazy.
How
about intimidation from the mound?
Yeah, I don't think he had the crazy eyes as Vincent Padilla did, you know, but Rocker was crazy, but he was so good.
But he was good at setup role, right?
Right.
Until he messed up and became a fool. And, but Wohlers coming in at the back end of that lineup for those several years in a row, and of course, they only get one World Series win out of this, but they appeared in the World Series more than once. Consistently winning their division year after. Did you say 14 straight years?
14 straight years.
Unbelievable. What about that mark? That's a big time mark.
I'll be hard to match. Cox's
manager. Oh, come on.
Be hard to match. I mean, you can say the Yankees. You know, Yankees are probably the only other team you could talk about matching division championships like that in a row.
And the only thing I can say about the San Francisco Giants, and you mentioned this earlier, is the fact that they got hot at the right time.
Right.
And it seems like every other year, you don't count Bruce Bochy or the Giants out. Because just when you think you have them down and out.
It's only on the even years, though.
It's the Bumgarner comes in. And like last year, you mentioned this too, Bumgarner, without his three games in that World Series last year, the Royals are probably walking away with a trophy this year.
You know, and I was pulling.
Or next, last year.
Truthfully, I was pulling for the Royals.
Absolutely.
I was. Yeah. And it's not that it has nothing to do. I don't hate the Giants. In fact, you know,
it's impressive what the Giants have done. Absolutely.
Play. It's impressive. Right. I enjoy watching Hunter Pence and Buster Posey, the Panda, Pablo Sandoval, which is now in Boston.
Right.
But I enjoyed watching those guys play. You know, it's a good baseball. And, you know, I think about as you're talking, you know, about, I kind of feel like if I pick San Francisco, it's kind of, you know, being shallow because you're picking that. No, because you're picking out, instead of consistency, you want just what the best. You know, if instead of buying a Honda, which will last me 300,000 miles, I want that Ferrari. Right. That may not last me as long. And truthfully, if I look back on it and the Rangers went on to win 14 straight division, I'd probably be more proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be fired up.
You know, the Braves never failed. Braves never failed. They were very successful. And I was listening on the radio earlier today. It's amazing how we say teams like Kentucky, this Kentucky team in the Final Four.
Right.
Now, I won't go into too far basketball, but they're 38-0. But if they lose to Wisconsin Saturday, is that a failure because they didn't go undefeated?
Well, yes.
No. They had a successful season.
You want to win it.
They were 38-1. They were in the Final Four.
If it's a Final Four, they're going to see it as a failure. Because their only loss was the final game.
No, last year they were an 8 seed.
See, that's why I don't know basketball.
No, Memphis, when Calipari was at Memphis, his only loss was to Kansas.
Okay.
Mario Chalmers, which,
that's right.
Ugh. But like I said, we're not going to talk too much about basketball when we get back to baseball. But the point of it is that the Braves were so successful.
Right.
That's what I want. You know, I think I'd rather look back and see. I love to have the rings. Basically, what you'd want is you want the Patriots. You want the Spurs. You want the consistent winning and the championships. The Spurs have 5, and they win 50 games a year. I mean, that's what you want. But I think in the end, I'd want the championship rings, but I think I want the consistency.
All right, check this out. This is a quick fact about that pitching staff. Coming in here. Maddux. This is his, probably his, in terms of time, 2 hours is a quick game. Okay. Anything 2 hours in a baseball game, blazing fast. Okay. I think it was Braves at Cubs, time of game, 2 hours, 7 minutes, pitches, 76 pitches overall. That's ridiculous. That's efficient. That's throwing strikes. Which he had 63 of the 76 were strikes. So you're looking at not only is he striking people out, but he's getting ground balls. His sinker, which he threw very well, inside, outside, up, down, around. I mean, he came out there with the glasses on. Is this guy an accountant on the mound? And all of a sudden he's, you know, he's painting corners.
Precision.
And he's consistent over the years, right? 76 wins. Or 76 pitches, 63 strikeouts. And you have him and his brother working for the Rangers. You're exactly right on that. So, the 95 Cardinals. Yeah, they got sick of Maddux pretty much too during that time, didn't they?
Yeah, they got pretty sick of him, didn't they?
Yes. I think one of the things too that stands out is there's some memorable moments throughout this time as well. And if you think about some of these memorable moments, you know, JT over here, his favorite moments. Bring me. Can you bring me right now? I want to be breamed. Here we go.
Shout out to Stu and all the other Mississippi folks.
I can see a young Stu Shoemake
going nuts. I can see JT going nuts.
Oh, well, I'd like to see that actually. That would kind of be a, that'd be a, like, I've seen him get fired up during football games, but man, that would have been a funny sight to see right there. I might have had to.
No, he might have pulled the, you going at the TV with the windmill when the Cowboys break a run.
Screaming at it. That might happen, you know. But now he Breamed us. That was good. That's a good memory, right? Bream. Everybody remembers Bream. What is one of the most iconic things that MLB will show?
Is that play right there.
That stinking play where Bream gets underneath the slide. He's just throwing his hands in the air, baby. And all they rush him at the plate. All right. That was a good year. Probably.
For the Giants.
For the Giants. I got a couple here on my mind.
For the Giants, it's not even in the World Series era. And I know no. He took steroids. It was probably Barry Bonds.
Yeah, and, that's, you know, probably exactly where I was going.
You know, him hitting all the home runs, but not just that, but just as an athlete, pre-steroids, unbelievable.
Yes, pre-steroids, unbelievable. Even with the steroids, to be able to hit the ball with a bat and coming in that fast and hit the ball out of the park. It's hand-eye coordination, but he had help.
And I always remember physically. That little crosshair ring.
dangling off the left ear. Okay, so here's my San Francisco iconic moment. They lost the World Series to the Angels this year. All right? And I remember Tim Salmon sitting in the dugout, all right, for the Angels. They're in Anaheim at the ballpark there. And one of the things I realized is this, is Troy Percival is on the mound. Troy Percival throws mid-90s fastball, 95. He's challenged. It's towards the end of the game. Angels up by two, chance to win the World Series, about to rush the field. Giants next night end up losing the World Series, but this turned the tide for the Giants to get into Game 7. Bonds is at the plate. Two outs. Percival's going to go at him. He's throwing the fastball. The fifth pitch in. Bonds just crushes a pitch. And I'm watching this on TV. And at the time, HDTV was not in the stage it is now, where you could see the ball flying through the air, you know, once they panned up to it. But it literally, they couldn't see the ball where it landed. And it was the top part of the right field stands. Well, they panned right back to Tim Salmon sitting in there. He said, "That's the furthest ball I've ever seen hit." You could read his lips. And he's like, his eyes and mouth are just a gate wide open. He looks back again and says, "That's the furthest ball I've ever seen hit." And off Troy Percival, that's pretty decent because he saved a lot of games for the Anaheim Angels that year. And they end up winning the World Series, much to my chagrin. But they end up winning the World Series. But that moment right there, Bonds, that's the things I remember. I should be remembering the fact that, you know, the Rangers lost to the Giants in the World Series at home. Yeah. As soon as my voice kind of gets smaller.
I remember Renteria just hitting that home run.
They were in the World Series. That was what made me happy.
Well, I definitely remember that. And by the way, how strange is it? Just a thought that the Angels first had a guy named Salmons, and now they have a guy named Trout.
Well, they gotta fish with their players, you know.
It's kind of fishy.
Oh, that's bad.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it was pretty punny. But, memorable, you talk about home run, and it makes me think of another moment in baseball. And that is when Pujols was on the Cardinals.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching the Astros. The Astros were good for a while.
This is a moment, yeah. This is a moment in baseball right here.
I can't think of his name, the closer for the Astros at that time, who basically lost all confidence after that. But they were waving the towels there, Minute Maid, and going nuts. They were at the final out, trying to get to the World Series again. Because I think they had went in 2005, right, and lost to the White Sox that year. And so they were trying to get there again. I mean, they had all the momentum. Pujols comes up and hits that ball. I remember I was on a treadmill. Yes, I was on a treadmill at a gym in Tyler while I was working at a camp. And I stopped running when he hit that ball. And that ball disappeared from the stadium. You saw, was it Bell?
No, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Yeah. It
slipped my mind, but Pujols obliterated that ball. Obliterated it. But it's not even the fact that he obliterated it. And by the way, some of the biggest moments I remember are home runs.
Right.
They usually are. And but I remember Pujols just looking back at the pitcher and tossing his bat and go. I mean, I was like, whoa, the Astros just lost. I mean, they were ahead in the series. It wasn't over, but I knew right then they had lost. It was done.
Mm-hmm.
Pujols. Of course, I think they went on the lose to Boston.
They did. They lost to Boston four straight. All right. We're coming right at 5 minutes left here, and let's move into this third question. What are your expectations for the season ahead? What do you want to see happen? What are some things that, you know, just overall that stand out? I mean, I'm going to start, and I'm just going to throw it over to you. And real quickly, I want to say this. I want edge of your seat action, you know, and I know that there are things coming up with the rule changes and stuff like that, but here's what I want. I want in the playoffs, when playoffs comes around, this is why I love baseball so much in postseason, but I want the edge of my seat, World Series, Game 7, bases loaded, two outs, pitcher has an opportunity to win the game. Winning run on third base, two strikes. It's that moment I felt in the 2011 World Series?
2012.
The 2012 World Series where the Cardinals.
I didn't even talk about that memory.
Well, I'm talking about that memory because I want that feeling again.
Right?
Because, you know, as a fan of the Rangers, yes, I want that feeling again. But think about if you're a Royal fan. Don't the Royal fans want to have a moment where they're have that opportunity, that iconic moment to jump up and down and go crazy. Go crazy, folks. Go crazy, you know? And literally, I was on the edge of my seat ready to tackle somebody in the way. My dad was sitting right there at that point in time. And it's one of those moments I'll never forget. As disappointing as it was of a game six, there were two opportunities for the Rangers.
Yeah, because Hamilton came up and hit a home run.
Hit the home run and won it for them. And so I want that. That's the kind of stuff I want every year in the playoffs. I know it's not possible, but just something I want to see happen because it's a long season, being patient through the season, watching these games, not having too high of expectations going in because maybe my heart can get chopped up real easy, you know, and I'm trying to be objective and observe it and stuff like that of all the teams. But once you get into the playoffs, man, it's like, all right, I want to see action. I want to see some heart pounding. Just head sweating, palm sweating. That's the stuff I want.
I want to see these young players. I want to see Chris Bryant.
I want to see these young
pitchers from LSU that they've talked about. Romolo, who's actually from Bullard. And
that's right. Yeah.
Nola, the other kid. I want to see these young players and see if they actually meet the expectations. I want to see if Cabrera comes back as hell. You know, he's not healthy last year. He was not the same player. And I've learned as I've gotten older to appreciate the greatness of athletes, Tiger Woods, Tom Brady, things like that. I want to see Miguel Cabrera continue to do well. I want to see the expectations of the Mariners, of the Cubs, the Dodgers, the Marlins, as you talked about 2 weeks ago, there's a lot of high expectations for these teams. The White Sox, I want to see how they meet these expectations to start off. And I do want to see, some scoring. I want to see some good
runs.
It'll
be fun, yeah.
I want, that's what baseball needs and that's what baseball wants. But I think you'll see more hits this year than we saw last year. I think you'll see more offense. But there's nothing, truthfully, there's nothing that beats a 3-2 game.
Right.
Well-pitched game, good defense. They're going to continue to see shifts, but like players like Prince Fielder who have, you know, hit the other way or bunted, I think you'll see players start adjusting and learn. So I have good expectations. I'm excited about this baseball season.
All right. Listen up. That's it for tonight, folks. This has been Leading Off Sports here on leadingoffsportsnetwork.com. Actually, leadingoffsports.com. You can follow us there. Go to the website. Follow us on Twitter at JT Goodson and at Justin Neely. And you can look for our articles on agoodsportshang.com. And look for Justin's article on Fridays called The Bearded Texan. And you can find my articles about the AL West coming up during the summer on Tuesdays called The Leadoff. And keep listening for us here on Leading Off Sports, the podcast leading you in on the latest information of sports. For Johnny Taylor, our sports producer, and the Bearded Texan, Justin Neely, I'm Jason Goodson, and we are out. Throwing opinions around because they matter. At the drop of a hat, leading you into the latest sporting news, talking all things sports, you're listening to Leading Off, the sports podcast.